everyone. I'm Emily Crow, multimedia editor at Progressive Grocer. Welcome to Top Women in Grocery, a podcast focused on the trends, topics, and interests that move women forward in grocery retail. We're spotlighting extraordinary women in the grocery industry who have had successful careers and interesting lives and who are also making a positive impact in their workplaces and in their communities. I'm here today with Kelly Nye, Chief Merchandising Officer at Misfits Market and Imperfect Foods. Kelly joined the company 2 years ago after spending 11 years at Amazon and has made a dramatic impact on building out its suppliers and its SKUs. We're here today to discuss product storytelling, private label, Kelly's career journey as a woman in both tech and grocery, and much more. Kelly, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, to get started, I'm hoping you can tell us a bit about your career journey and how you landed in your current role with Misfits Market and Imperfect Foods.
I actually started my early career in sports, had big aspirations of running professional sports teams, was a big sports fan, and really enjoyed my early opportunities running around basketball arenas and getting exposed to a lot of just like the fundamentals of business. And one of those things that I was exposed to and really latched on to was digital marketing and online ticket sales, database management, and really found that that was a strong interest of me. And when kind of the sports career opportunity started to tap out, I started to lean into e-commerce, which led to my early career at Amazon. And at Amazon, over the course of my career, I was really had a really nice benefit of being exposed into different businesses, different functions, et cetera, and really earning a strong foundational background in e-commerce, running businesses from consumer electronics to baby goods to consumable products and kind of running the full gamut. And then after that time at Amazon, I was really interested in working for a smaller company that had a certain level of agility to it and my ability to kind of come in and make an impact to that company that was sort of outsized versus the time I was spending on it. And which led me to Imperfect Foods at the beginning of 2022. And I was really impressed with sort of Imperfect's approach to e-commerce retail and the grocery e-commerce, which has its own unique challenges. But on top of that, really focusing on food waste and how they could use food waste and sourcing food waste for their customers as a differentiator versus other traditional grocers and then obviously online grocers. And have spent the last 2 years working on the Imperfect brand. And then after Imperfect was acquired by Misfits at the end of 2022, have the pleasure of continuing that mission across both the Misfits Market brand and the Imperfect Foods brand.
Wonderful. So your background kind of runs the gamut. Sounds like you have a lot of experience in a little bit of everything.
Yeah, jack of all trades, master of some, maybe, I hope to say.
Sure.
But I will say, I have a passion for e-commerce. It's mm-hmm. been wonderful to sort of spend the last, you know, better part of 15 years watching sort of the consumer be more open into buying things online. When I first started in consumer electronics, the big conversation was, will customers buy a big screen TV mm-hmm. or a laptop online? They need to go and touch and see and feel it. And ironically, it feels very similar to the conversations today about produce. You know, do customers need right. to see and touch and feel this in order to buy it? And so there's a lot of similarities and a lot of lessons that I've taken from my early career and am now applying it in the food industry.
That's really interesting. So what does your day-to-day look like in your role? What functions and company operations do you touch?
Yeah, so I oversee all of sort of category management, procurement, inventory planning, pricing, and our private label team for all of Misfits and Imperfects. And most of my days are kind of balanced between working with my team on how to tackle the most immediate opportunities in front of us, and then how we think about growing our impact and revenue in the fastest way possible, both from a short-term perspective and a long-term perspective. So in practice, that could range from, we planned on bringing in, you know, 5,000 pounds of rescued Romanesco, and that product didn't sort of meet our quality standards. How do we pivot for our customers to what types of new categories should we be exploring our growth potential into, to talking to suppliers about where their food waste streams are and can we leverage those for our private label program or through other kind of supplier partners. So it really runs the gamut. I often use the phrase, we are building the airplane while flying it.
Sure.
And so it's a nice mix between, you know, fixing the small problems or identifying the small opportunities that are coming up to make sure the plane stays, you know, off the ground while trying to figure out where the plane is headed as well. So there's a lot of fun. It has a lot of diversity and no 2 days are the same by any means.
Great. So as you mentioned, e-commerce Misfits Market is online first. How does that relate to your ability to tell the stories of where the food that you offer is coming from?
One of the differentiators of e-commerce is we do have the space and capabilities to tell more of the stories of our products and suppliers. And we also have more of our customers' attention. So we aren't limited to the space on, you know, a product's packaging or kind of the end caps, the limited end caps that a physical retailer might have. And so we really try to build out those spaces and those mechanisms in which we can highlight the stories of our products and our suppliers. And what we see is that our customers really respond to these. We try to prioritize messages around our food waste. And so what that might mean is sort of explaining why we're offering these products to our customers, where these products come from, why they might be viewed as food waste. And so a great example is recently we sourced organic broccoli leaves from one of our largest suppliers. And so what happens is when farmers sort of harvest broccoli, they kind of cut off a portion of the stem and the leaves during this harvest. And these leaves and stems are actually perfectly fine to eat. They're tasty. They're kind of like a very kind of collard greens equivalent. Okay. And so we worked with them to sort of capture that waste and sell it to our customers. And over the last 5 weeks, we've been able to sell, you know, almost 2,000 pounds of these, you know, of this product that otherwise would have ended up in a landfill or tilled back into the ground. And offer that to our customers. And our customers respond really favorably. We tell the story about what farm this specifically came from and why we're offering it to them. And we continue each and every week to sort of sell out of this product of something that I assume most customers have never even tasted or thought to purchase and buy. There's also a product that sometimes these farmers can offer to like local suppliers or premium specialty grocers. And we are their first sort of national supplier who they've been able to really offer a much larger volume at a higher value to them. So it's something that we're really excited to do. We've done this across the board in our produce. So common stories are missized or mixed size products. So when you go to the grocery store, you'll see your apples tend to be very similar in size. Yeah. Apples obviously don't grow with perfect symmetry.
Right.
And so those ones that sort of are either too small or too big, we can kind of put them in a bag and offer those to customers. We've done this with baby artichokes recently, where first harvest on artichokes tend to be a little bit smaller and don't meet the specifications of a traditional retailer. Same thing as we can kind of market those and tell the customers why we're offering it to them, why other retailers don't take it, and they respond very favorably. So we're very excited about kind of what we're able to rescue on our produce side. But as the business has grown, we've been able to expand that to our CPG or more traditional grocery side as well. And so fun stories there include where a manufacturer might have a packaging issue. We had a manufacturer who accidentally added an extra O in good. So it was good. And, you know, we can explain that to customers and obviously sure. offer them a little bit of a value for purchasing that. So, you know, we aren't able to do that without sort of the mechanisms that e-commerce allows us to tell those stories, whether it be sort of on-site features on the product pages themselves, and then obviously through our various sort of like digital marketing aspects through social and email, et cetera. So, but I'm always amazed at the customer response on some of these things that are otherwise rejected from other retailers. So a big credit to our customers and they're willing to do their part to save food.
Yeah, it sounds like a win-win-win. You're able to tell that story. The consumer is able to learn more and you're also helping those farmers by selling something that might not otherwise get sold.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of rare in business where it really feels like that win-win-win. And when you're out in these fields with these farmer partners, you really feel the value that we play. You know, they have the ability to better plan their crops, knowing that, you know, as much of 20% of their yield is going to actually have a home at a significantly higher value if it is either going to animal feed or processing, or in a lot of cases these days, based on their cost structure, they don't even pull it out of the ground if they feel like they can't find a home for it. And so that gets tilled right back into the ground, and there's water resources and labor resources and financial resources that these farmers are having to incur. So so to hear their, you know, honest testimonies about the value and the unique position that Misfits plays for them is really motivating and really is impactful in terms of, you know, trying to prioritize and fight for more or identify more of these opportunities. And then, of course, we are able to secure those products at a lower cost structure that we then pass on to our customers. And so they, in turn, are also getting really quality, fresh, organic produce in many cases at a lower cost than they otherwise could have. And so it really is a win-win-win that is a flywheel that I'm excited to like continue to promote. And we really have a good, you know, a good cadence on our produce side. And we're very much excited to find future opportunities on the CPG side. On the CPG side, one of our recent successes has really been around upcycled foods.
Okay.
So packaged foods that are using ingredients that also otherwise would have gone to waste. And so we're able to identify those products and highlight those products and articulate the value that they have to our environment. And whenever possible, sort of offer that cost savings based on some of those ingredient, those reduced ingredient costs back to our customers. So it's a, it's definitely an exciting and growing part of the food waste movement.
Great. And you mentioned some of your partners. When we spoke previously, you mentioned seeking out partners that focus on sustainability and that are otherwise mission aligned with the company. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, so I do want to just kind of like center around food waste as our primary objective. And a lot of that is based on the fact that 1/3 of food produced in this country goes to waste. And that's about $408 billion worth of food and about 18% of U.S. farmland that requires 4 trillion gallons of water, or sorry, tons of water. So this is a massive environmental issue. And so we are prioritized on that. But beyond food waste, we do have a vision to sort of reimagine the food system and build more of a sustainable system that fosters a better outcome for our planet. And so we are looking to build out our assortment beyond items that we're saving from waste, to supplement that assortment with items that we know customers are looking for and kind of add to their sort of weekly shopping experience. And we prioritize products and partners that are also sort of doing the work that reduces carbon emissions and is investing in sort of practices that we know lead to better environmental outcomes. So we try to highlight and prioritize partners that have carbon neutral practices, prioritize renewable energy, zero waste initiatives, regenerative agriculture, and recyclable packaging. And so we're proud to sort of, again, highlight those partners that are taking their own steps beyond food waste to lead to better outcomes for our planet.
Great. And you mentioned that you work in private label. Obviously, that represents a massive opportunity throughout retail. Tell us a little bit about Misfits private label offerings and their impact on the sustainability that we talked about.
Yeah, we sort of have two prongs to our private label. We have sort of a traditional private label assortment that aims to provide our customers a value on key staple items across certain kind of quality or attribution. So things like butter, cheese, nuts, or dried fruit. But we also work really hard to identify mission aligned products. So kind of going back to that sort of upcycled or rescued ingredient. And a couple of recent examples include our organic canned pumpkin puree. And so you think of a, you know, when you're making pumpkin pie during the holidays, you kind of have your traditional can of a pumpkin puree. And what customers might not know is there's standards around the Brix content. So Brix is sort of the sugar content in that can. And certain pumpkins at different points of the harvest really meet that Brix content. But there are pumpkins on both sides of that kind of optimal point that are going to be either a little too sugary or a little less sugary. And what we've done is we work with partners to harvest those kind of off-spec pumpkins into mm-hmm. our own pumpkin puree that at times maybe is a little bit sweeter and at times a little less sweet, but in my honest opinion, hard to tell the difference.
Sure.
And then we can secure those pumpkins those pumpkins are secured at a lower cost. And then we pass that cost on to about a 40% savings to our customers versus a traditional pumpkin puree. And we've saved a lot of pumpkins that otherwise would have just been tilled back into the ground. Another great example is our private label broken jasmine rice. So typical rice has certain very strict standards on what percentage of each kernel can be broken.
Okay.
And it's about 4%. So it's a really kind of stringent requirement. Mm-hmm. And so we partnered with a rice supplier to essentially loosen that standard and have more mixed kernels of broken kernels versus full kernels. And in that process, we've been able to save about 80,000 pounds of rice from going to animal feed just last year alone. And so that's just another kind of fun story where when you start to have conversations about what the challenges or waste that our suppliers are seeing, we can kind of try to help pull the dots together and then offer an option for them to kind of have a more cost-effective, outlet for these products that otherwise would have gone to waste. And a fun story about our broken rice is we actually parlayed that into a second upcycled product with one of our partners, Petit Pot or Petit Pot, which is this really delicious French pudding dessert company. And we now have an exclusive Misfits Market Petit Pot broken rice pudding that we offer our customers. That is also one of our top items as it relates to pounds saved in 2023.
Awesome. I wrote down off-spec pumpkins because it's not something that you would normally think about, but it sounds like a big part of your job is learning to think about things differently and how you can use the products that are already out there that you wouldn't normally think about.
Yeah, I think it's just applying a wider viewpoint to mm-hmm. production and what does quality really mean to customers, and
yeah.
where you're able to kind of change their perspectives of different specifications, where you're really not changing the taste or the quality of the product while also offering them a value. You know, and another example in our own production is we do make like a standard cheddar cheese. And inevitably, there are going to be pieces of that cheddar cheese that sort of crumble and break as part of the process. And so we now collect that, those kind of excess crumbles, and we utilize it in a aged cheddar and sweet, savory jalapeno pepper cheddar cheese spread.
Wow.
So again, it's just another way as we sort of, we're intentionally looking for those waste byproducts and then thinking mm-hmm. creatively about how do we bring them back into new and unique products for our customers that ultimately lead to food saved.
Very cool. So switching gears a little bit, I mentioned your career in both tech and grocery. In what ways do you support and mentor other women in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think my career in both tech and now at Imperfect has had, you know, it has grown as it relates mm-hmm. to women in tech. And obviously, the conversation has grown and evolved. When I was early in my career at Amazon, there was sort of an emerging conversation around how these larger tech companies were approaching women or thinking about how they include, how they hire more women, how they grow mm-hmm. more women into leadership positions. And so my own viewpoint has changed around that. And I think early in my career, I came at it as an approach of work hard, keep your head down, you'll be recognized for the work that you're doing in the same way that your male counterparts are doing. And I had this one experience where I was running a program and getting really good feedback on my own career growth and my impact to the company. I was managing a fairly large team, getting a lot of visibility into senior leadership. And I had a peer join my organization, a male peer, and he was in a very similar role, albeit a smaller business. and he came in with a different title. His title was program leader, and my title was something, you know, more generic, like senior manager. Mm-hmm. And we would walk into very similar rooms and kind of have to introduce ourselves and talk about our business. And his title just held more weight. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I had a boss that I appreciated, that always looked out for me. And he was a great boss and a great advocate for women by all measures. And I would kind of joke after we'd leave these meetings and say, you know, so-and-so is program leader. Like, I want to be a program leader. And he kind of blushed it, you know, kind of brush it off like, oh, yeah. Like, not a big deal. It's just a title.
Right.
But as kind of the months went on and more, I could feel the difference of his presentation of himself versus mine. And so I finally went to my boss and I said, I want the same title. And it was a very direct conversation. It was not sort of one that could be interpreted as a passing comment or a joke. And he took it seriously and he went and advocated for me on that. And he came back and he said, you were right. Not only is the program leader sort of viewed internally as a higher position, it pays more money too.
Oh.
So he, you know, that advocation sort of did enable me to have that title, earn the raise. But it was a good lesson for me that even with a great boss who had all my best intentions, it requires yourself to advocate for what you want and what you need and to investigate where you want to go and how you're going to get there. And so it really did change my approach in the sense of like, I can't just keep my head down. I need to be, I need to present myself in a certain way and advocate for myself in a certain way, not only for myself, but so that my peers or more junior women employees see me doing that and can replicate that in their own careers. So that's something I've tried to do. Additional things are, I'm a really big fan of leaning into your superpowers. I think as women, we try to always kind of think about where our opportunities are or where we think we're maybe falling short. And we all need to do that. We all need to spend focus there. But I'm a firm believer that if you lean into what you're good at, you're going to get further faster. Find ways to make up for the parts where you might be falling short, but celebrate where you're excited, where you know you have your strengths, and lean into that and have other people lean into that as well. And then, you know, making sure that everyone has that sort of candid feedback on what they should be doing or what they're not doing or where they could do more to move faster. And, you know, providing that feedback in a direct and consistent manner, I think is really important. So, but, you know, it's been an interesting journey. It does feel like we are in a better spot than my time, almost 15 years ago at Amazon. But, you know, we still have a long ways to go. There are still days where I count the women in the room, you know, and it is rare that it is over 50%. So,
yeah, I thought that was interesting. You said kind of championing yourself. I was just talking to somebody else about being a cheerleader, both for yourself and for other people. And I think as women, we sometimes forget that we need to celebrate ourselves and our wins.
Yeah, it's hard. And, you know, here I am. It's hard to sort of celebrate yourself or to toot your own horn. And so it's also good to find those around you who are going to do that for you and you do it in turn for them. And really leaning into a culture of sort of positivity and celebration to make sure that we are taking time to celebrate everyone's accomplishments and, you know, recognizing the hard work that we're all doing on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, it's easy to kind of lose sight of that or to push that to the back burner, but it's much more fun when you're celebrating the wins along the way.
Absolutely. Well, Kelly, I learned so much today. Thank you so much for talking to me, sharing your insights, and for being here with us today.
Thank you very much. This was fun.
Great. For more information about the Top Women in Grocery podcast, please visit www.progressivegrocer.com/podcasts. You can also subscribe to this series wherever you typically listen to podcasts, including on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Finally, do you have any ideas for a Top Women in Grocery podcast topic? I would love to hear from you. Shoot me an email at ecrow@ensembleiq.com. See you next time, and thank you so much for listening.